So we're going to do the ministry of giving. And yeah, you can't do the announcement, but you can ask for money. No, there's an anointing with what God wants to share this morning. And he's been talking to me about it all week. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, as we get ready to worship the Lord with the ministry of giving? We don't do this that often, probably not often enough. Matthew 25. Just to let you know about our Father. I thought I was reading this passage in preparation for today's lesson. And I kept reading it, and I knew that there was something God wanted to say about it. I thought it was in context of a message. It is a message, but it's not part of First Things First, at least not yet. I found out that it's about giving, that there's something he wants us to understand about giving. So I'm going to read Matthew 25, starting with verse 14 out of the Passion Translation. And then I'm going to share some things with you. Again, heaven's kingdom is like a wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins. Listen to this part. Each according to his ability to manage. It's important to understand that, folks. God gave you because you have the ability to manage. God gave you because you have the ability to manage it. The one entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with the money he would, and he doubled his investment. In the same way, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins, this is my insert, when he finished whining about how come he only got 1,000, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Buried whose money? So what was given to them didn't really belong to them at that time. After much time had passed, and I put in, you could say, in due season, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, "See, I have doubled your money." Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you have been a faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Then the one who had been trusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, "See, my master, I have doubled what you have entrusted to me." Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came in and said to his master, "You only gave me 1,000. You gave everybody..." No, you can say that. He said, "Look, sir, I know that you are a hard man. You're a hard man to please, and you're a shrewd and ruthless businessman. who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you. Then why don't you do something different with the money? I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it. It's yours. But his master said to him, you are an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received it all back with interest when I return. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. Then the master said to his other servants, now throw that good-for-nothing servant far away from me into the outer darkness, where there'll be a great misery and anguish. Now, we're not saying if you don't give, we're going to throw you into outer darkness. That's not what we're saying. For those of you putting things on social media, don't say, my pastor just said, well, he's not my pastor anymore. He's going to say stuff like that. Pay attention to verse 26 and 27. But his master said, you're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Why did he say that? Well, in the Aramaic, that is translated, why didn't you throw my money in the offering? That's what that means in the original Aramaic. Why didn't you take the money I gave you and put it in the offering? Why did he say that? Well, according to what I studied, the implication is that he said offering because the implication is that money given in sacred offerings to God will be returned with even more by God's generosity. And so that person said, you didn't know what to do with the money? Give it to the church. Then when I come, I'll get it back a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what it says in the original Aramaic. And it references Luke 6:38. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which we swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. We are too busy trying to make a living. We are too busy looking at other investment strategies, and we'll give what's left, maybe, to the church for the work of God. But we expect the church will be there when I need someone to pray for me. I'm not giving what I should be based on how God has blessed me. I'm not making that investment. But if my body is attacked, I want to call a church. They need to answer the phone and minister to me. Telephone companies didn't say, you're a church, so you can have these at no charge. You don't want to, for whatever reason, you've convinced yourself, some have convinced themselves, that they can't afford to give what God says to give. But when something happens, you come to the church and ask if the church can help you. We don't have a printing press in the back office. We don't have that. This rich ruler said the least you could have done was put my money in an offering in the church. That's the least you could have done. Then when I've come back, it would have been a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But you hid it. You hid it. Some translations say you didn't want to take a chance. What does that mean? You didn't want to operate in faith. You didn't want to sow your seed in faith. You were sowing in anxiety. You were sowing in fear. Or you were not sowing because of anxiety. You were not sowing because of fear. But in this translation, the master said, you could have at least taken what I gave you and gave an offering. Because then you've given God something to work with. So he would have multiplied it and got it back to you. And so when due season comes, you have a reward. When due season, how many of you are waiting for due season? Just say amen. I'm not going to look and see who you are. Well, it says in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. What do you think faint not means? Doesn't mean on due season. You say, hey, it's due season. No, that's not what it's talking about. Have you been faithful during that time leading up to due season? What were you doing when mortgage is due season? What were you doing when Easter closed due season? What were you doing with Christmas due season? What are you doing in ministry of giving due season? Now, I'm not telling you this because the ministry is in dire need of funds. We, the ministry, tithe to other ministries that God told us to support. And because of that, because of the years of sowing seed, we're harvesting. God has kept this ministry when nobody was coming. He kept the ministry and is keeping the ministry, even though everybody hasn't come back. What is he operating on? The seed that's been sown from this ministry for 41 years. Due season can pop up at any time. The only reason we have tomatoes on a vine on our deck is because we planted them and nourished them and took care of them. Well, I say we. You can still stay. I looked at them. And we're about to enjoy tomatoes. Fresh tomatoes. Grown on our own deck. There's also an eggplant that's going to grow. They're lemon trees. We have them because we planted them. We have a sense of financial security because we planted it. What did we do? We put it in a church offering. And God is bringing back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We planted, how many vines did you plant? Was it one vine, tomato? One tomato vine. That's 14 tomatoes on it. We plant one vine, get back 14 tomatoes. And each vine has these little growth things on it that look like spikes or larvae or something, But what they're there for, where if you bury that part of the vine, it'll take root, and guess what else? What it'll produce? More tomatoes. It's designed so you can have an unending supply. So is God's word. We don't want you to give because Pastor Ed and I are tired of driving a Taurus and an Edge. If we wanted something else, God would have given us something else. God would have. Just like he gave, I told him, we want an Edge. He gave us an Edge. We told him we want a Taurus. Well, actually, I told him that I gave him the specs that I got from my wife. And he said, oh, what you mean is you want a Taurus. I'm like, whatever you say, Lord, this way I can say, he said we have a Taurus. But we don't want you to give because we can get more. We want you to give so you can be in a position where God can give you, return to you, that which he has in store for you. But you're going to have to stop being afraid. And as I said earlier, you're going to have to do something with the faith you say that you have. You're going to have to do something. Stop talking about all this faith you have and start doing something with it. And whatever it is that God tells you to give, give in faith. And don't go to the other end. God said give $150, but I'll show them I'm going to give $350. And you're going to struggle. Because he told you what to give. And you said that's not good enough. Do what God says. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And he'll look at you and say to you, you good and faithful, trustworthy servant. See, it's nice that God finds us good and faithful. You want him to find you trustworthy. Because when he finds you trustworthy, he gives you more to handle because he can trust you. And that's not original. I heard that from our founding pastors. When our founding pastors do what they say, you find that they're true. I found that things they said were true. I listen to everybody, but I do it to see if they know what they're talking about. Our founding pastors knew what they were talking about. I didn't understand everything, just like you don't understand everything. But you do it. And you're like that train that just went by. You're so excited. You're like shouting, woo, woo. So they'll put the information on how to give on the screen. If you've given already, that's cool. That's fine. If you haven't given what God told you, fix it. That's fine. It's not necessary to send us a letter and saying, I apologize, I haven't. This is between you and God, not you and your pastor. I tried everything with me to stay out of God's business that he has with people. I don't tell people they don't hear. I don't care how crazy it is. I don't say you. God didn't say that. I may say to you, I believe a God told you that. I don't know the one that did, but maybe you hear differently than I do. Proof of the pudding's in the eating. If God told you to do something, you're doing it and it's working, okay. But if God's telling you, don't give, put your money here, 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 and you're on the verge of being homeless, I'd check it out. I'd go to an ENT and make sure that my hearing is not clogged because something's not working. Say, I'm going to be known as a wise, trustworthy servant. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do with my master's money. Because remember, it didn't belong to them. When did it belong to, when did they gain ownership of those talents? That's right, Pat Sarah. I knew you would know. But the rest of you, when did it become theirs? When they did what they were supposed to do with what was given them, what became theirs wasn't the original amount. It was the original amount and then some. And then some. I do what I want with my money. It's not your money yet. It's destined to become yours, but it's not yours yet. Deacon Phyllis was destined to become my wife, but it wasn't the first day we met. It may have been in our future, but it wasn't time yet. In due season, it became time. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he, not your investment banker. It's he, not your high-paying job. It's he, because there's some high-paying jobs that are no more. It's he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Think about that statement. I don't know if we're going to get to the message today. If we don't, it's okay. But think about that. It's he that gives you the power to get wealth. It didn't say he gives you wealth. He gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. That's what he didn't give you the power to get wealth so you can have the largest home in the neighborhood. He gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. The power, the ideas, the insight, the direction to get wealth. See, when you're a coach and you tell you give your players a play, give your team a play to run, you're giving them the power to score. Just because you gave the play doesn't mean they're going to score. It means they now have the power to do it, but now they have to go out and execute the plan that you gave them. They have to go out and use the power, because that's what coaches empower. We could read that scripture, remember the Lord thy God, for he empowered us to get wealth. See, some of us get tripped up because we're looking. Said, God, you said you gave me the power to get wealth. I don't have any money. He gave you the power to get it. He didn't say, I'm going to just pour it out to you. Not there, he didn't. He did Malachi. He said, you bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there'll be meat in my house, and prove me now if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So there may be times of pouring, and there may be times of powering, or I should say empowering. Most of the time, he's empowered. You were empowered before he could open up the windows of heaven, because he convinced you that you should bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there'd be meat in the house. And then he said, prove me. So he gave you permission. He gave you empowerment. You proved him. He poured you out a blessing. He's only asking for a tithe. 10%. You get to keep 90. So 90% starts out as yours. And he said, 10% belongeth to me. And you do what you're supposed to do with that 10%, he'll give it back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and just spilling out all over the place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. You are God. You have the perfect plan. And thank you for giving us your plan for our finances. Thank you for sharing with us how to become better handlers of the money that you have empowered us to get. And thank you, Father, that you've shown us ways to use the money to establish your covenant, here in the earth. We thank you for the hearts of the precious people to give for kingdom building. We thank you that they love you and they love Redeeming Love Christian Center. And they want to see Redeeming Love Christian Center fulfill its purpose till Jesus comes. And we thank you for them, Father, and we thank you that you'll do exactly what you said. As they yield themselves to your promptings, as they're obedient to your commands, you'll return to them a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you, Lord, for the $80,000 you told us to call in each week. And collectively now as a congregation, we do that. We say $80,000, come into the ministry of Redeeming Love Christian Center this week in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for sending the ministering angels out to cause the monies to come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not the way I thought service was going to come or go. And I'm not going to say, I'm not. I want to say as much time as I was up getting ready, I'm saying something. Well, I did say something. I did say something. I don't know. I guess by Tuesday we'll know what to call it, Dan. Today, you need to know today? Okay, Father, Dan wants to know today, Lord. Dan needs to know today so he can put it up because it has to go up online. It'll come. Yeah, I was going to say it'll come in a few minutes. I will tell you this. Every believer has the gift of giving. Every believer has the gift of giving. If you look in Ephesians 4, it says God gave gifts to help the growth of all. When we think of the gifts of God, we only think about the fivefold ministry gifts. But those aren't the only gifts that are given. Didn't say that he gave gifts to support the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry gifts are special gifts. But every member, if you read Ephesians 4, every born-again believer was given grace according to their gift. So that has to mean that everyone has a gift. Okay, I will, Lord. Would you put the scripture up, please, for Ephesians 4? He said, share that scripture with someone, share it. And then we're going to go. Not because I'm tired, but because God said, just share this and then unhook. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verse 5 out of the Passion Translation. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. Verse 7. And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of God. So every one of us has a gift. Everyone. And with that gift comes the grace to do it. See, every one of us has a gift. And every one of us was given supernatural grace according to the size of that gift. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We mistakenly think that we decide what our gift is. Pastor Clinton was a gifted musician. Is that fair to say? You knew him better than I. Musician, arranger, songwriter. Well, before that. And he thought that was his gift. God says, go to Bible school. Come back. Start a church. And I'm sure I'm not speaking for him, but
I would have been, yes, church, we're going to have a slayer.
Because that's the gift. Thank you, God. That's the gift you've given me. God said, I don't want you to have a choir. He had an opportunity to say, what am I going to do? This is my gift. No, God gave him teacher, pastor, leader. He gave them both all of those other gifts. Why? Because he knew the plans he had for them. And they had grace to the degree of the gift. I know God said, and when Gregory comes, I'm going to have to pour more grace into you. But think about that. They were given the gift to pastor all of us and everyone that's come through these doors. Grace that they didn't have before. But what did it take for them to get that grace? Would you say it again, Mom? Obedience. Obedience. Okay. I'm not operating on my own strength. I'm just telling you, he says, now I want you to say this. How many of you know about Noah? Noah, God, first of all, the Bible says Noah found grace in God's sight. Noah didn't say, I have grace in God's sight. Noah was just doing whatever it was he was supposed to do. God said to Noah, I'm going to wipe everybody out. Build an ark. And then go out and get all the animals, two by two, male and female, and bring them into the ark. Noah said, yes, sir. Noah didn't have the gift of ark building. He'd never seen one. we get instruction to, well, what's the purpose of this? What difference does it make? He'd never seen an ark. He'd never seen rain. He'd never seen a flood. Has no experience differentiating male and female from every species of animal, much less getting them to cooperate. No experience with that. God gave him a gift of construction. God gave him a gift of knowledge. God gave him everything he needed to do what God told him to do. And no one ever said, I don't feel led to do it that way, God. No one never said, let me pray about this. God gave the instructions. Noah's responsibility was do what God said, not think about whether you can or not. God said, there's a need. I'm going to eliminate all flesh except for this righteous man and his family. So I need something to protect them. I need an ark. Noah, build the ark. Pastors wanted these classrooms transferred into a banquet room. Gregory, get this transferred. They didn't come to me and say, do you have any construction experience? They said, this is what needs to be done. I said, okay. Everything that I was ever asked to do, they always were so gracious enough to say, well, you pray about it. I never did. My question was, why do I have to pray about it? I was taught that God gives us pastors after his heart who will fill me with wisdom and understanding, or knowledge and understanding. And I believed it. So it wasn't God asking me to do things. It was God's heart asking me. And I'm going to pray as to whether or not I'm going to be obedient to God's heart. What if they were wrong? That's between them and God. But here's what we don't understand, folks. If God, through his messengers, gives you instructions, and you don't do it because you think they're wrong, even if they are wrong, God's going to hold you accountable for your disobedience before he holds them accountable for getting it wrong. How do I know that? God had Aaron, the high priest, come before the people, had his sons take off the priestly garments, and he died. Why? Because he didn't remind Moses of what thus saith the Lord. Moses paid a price, but Aaron died because he didn't do his job as high priest. When God revealed it to Aaron, knew God didn't say yell at the people. God said speak to the rock. So we may ask you to do something, we might miss it. It's not going to put your life in danger. But if your attitude is, I don't think it should be done this way, I'm going to do it this way. Even if it comes out right, you are operating in disobedience. I was asked to do some things that I thought should be done differently. And I went and I said, ma'am, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I gave them reasons why I thought the way I thought. And if they said, okay, go with it, I did. If they said, no, we believe this is the way to go, I did everything in my strength to get it done. Why? Because that's what God's heart asked of me. And the minute they asked me, God gifted me with the ability to do it. He gifted me. And he does the same thing with all of you. You're gifted. We say, we need people to come and hang ceiling tiles. I don't know how to do that. You'll receive the gift as you're coming. You're being obedient to the heart of God. Whatever it is. We may approach some and say, we're impressed to ask you to step into a role of leadership. Oh, because I don't know if I can do it. The heart of God just spoke to you. He gives you the grace to do it. He gives you every gift you need to do it. We've been talking for 18 sessions about first things first. You have to first believe that God exists. Well, if you believe that God exists, why wouldn't you listen to his heart? He that has an ear, let him hear. Understand the gift. Understand that God's always going to give you, with every instruction, is going to come a gift that you can do it. With every instruction is going to come grace needed to get it done. Every instruction. And Father, some people want, have the pastors thought this out? God has already thought it out. And he told us what to tell you. I need more than that. No, you want more than that. What you need to be is obedient. There's a message that God gave me. I don't know when we're going to, he wanted to share it. But I can tell you what the title is going to be. Myob. Myob. M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. Talking to his disciples. Look at John. What about him? I know Jesus didn't do it like that. People were like, if I tell him to stay here till I come, what is it to you? You follow me. Myob. If you stick to your own business, you won't have time to get into anybody else's business. If you stick to your own business, how come they're not doing that? That has nothing to do with you. Or what you're saying, you want to do what I told you to do and what they're supposed to do also? You looking for triple work? Mind your own business. Whatever it is that God told you to do, all your attention needs to be on that. And not what the person next to you is doing. How come they get to use a new vacuum cleaner? I know I'm meddling, but it's not me. Dad's letting you know that he sees everything that's going on, and he hears everything that you think was spoken in secret. Father, may I please unhook? He that has an ear, let him hear what Father had to say to his children this morning. Father, we thank you. We did have a good time with you this morning. And we thank you because we said that we're a place where the Spirit of God is directing. And we believe we did everything that you wanted done today. And we did it the way you wanted it to be done this day. We thank you for these people. What a precious people they are. Hungry for the word, hungry for truth. They want to get this right. They want to do things the right way. Thank you that with the help of your Holy Spirit, you've given us some additional information, some insight. You've uncovered some things to us to help us operate in the gifts that you've given us. Understand that I am fully aware of your giftings. I'm fully aware of the things that you enjoy doing. I'm fully aware of those things. I gave them to you in the first place. And I gave them to you because I want them shared, but I want them shared during my time frames. Meanwhile, do the other works that I have for you to do. The gift is not going anywhere. I never take back a gift once I've given it. My gifts and callings are without repentance. So when I ask you to set it aside, don't read any more into it than that. Set it aside, knowing it's not time yet. Right now, there are other things I need you to do. Do that. And when the time is right, you'll pick your gift up off the shelf, and the people will be blessed. No, I've not forgotten the gift. I've not forgotten what you enjoy doing. Don't forget me. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? As Savior. Can't operate in his gifts without having him. His gifts, the only way you're going to get it, it's going to be released inside of you. Are they going to be released inside of you? You're going to have to give him your heart. You're going to have to allow him to come and live in your heart. Well, how does that happen? It's really not hard. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. It really is. So I want everyone to say, Father, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I acknowledge you as the Son of God. And I'm asking you, I'm inviting you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, if you made that confession for the first time and you believed it in your heart, according to the Bible, you just got born again. You got your first gift, eternal life. You got sozo. You got health. You got wealth in addition to eternal life. You got victory over the devil. Your past was erased. You're a totally new creature in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I look the same way. You're changed on the inside. And eventually, that change is going to show on the outside. And there's a next step. In which we give you, we'd like to get into your hands some free information. And there are two ways we can get that done. If you're here presently with us in the Warwick Room, I need you to just stand where you are. Come meet me down here. I want to shake your hand. Or I'll give you a bump if you prefer. And then send you with one of our deacons or elders, and they're going to give you some free information. Or if you're online, just use the contact us information. We'll do the same thing. Yeah, I made that confession with Pastor Greg. Please send me the information. We'll gladly send it to you. And as always, if you have any questions about anything that we share today, use the same contact us information and contact me. I'll be happy to explain or answer any question you have. I may not do it the same day that I get it, but I promise you, I will respond to you. Amen.